Backseat Box Office, episode number 151, for the weekend of August 9th through August 11th, 2013.
So Art and I were talking post-show last week.
Oh, that's right. I had to go see these.
And I don't remember if I mentioned to you about, I think I did, about that one website, I think Vulture.com had you try to predict tomato meter number for past movies.
Something's going on with your audio there, buddy.
I think so. Yes, I do remember that.
I'm sorry. What was that?
I was saying something's going on with your audio. You're kind of coming in and out. Sounds like the mic is getting bumped or something.
Okay. Maybe I'm a little too far away from it. Okay. So kind of as a trial run, I picked a movie, and we both took a wild guess on what plane's number is going to end up at. Just because, you got to do it at least a week ahead of time, or a movie that doesn't have any reviews out yet. So Art for Planes went with 94%.
As a tomato meter?
As a tomato meter number. I went with
that. Good call.
So we were both drastically off.
Did you tell? He didn't do much better.
I know. What's the name of the website?
Vulture.com is the one that has the quiz.
Okay.
But, I don't think that there's any way that we could keep track of this, I think, accurately or interestingly.
Mm-hmm.
So, I just think, if we just predict and then the next week we see who got the closest, don't keep track.
Sure, that'd be fun.
It's just a point and laugh.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm the one who keeps pointed at this week. So that's
not. So, okay. I'll play.
Okay, so
and
now
there's four big movies next week too. What's this one? I'm already jumping ahead to next week.
I would say either The Butler or Paranoia.
That's the one that I know. I was like, Paranoia, what the hell is this? I don't think I've heard anything about this.
I want it to be about the role playing game, but I'm sure it's not.
Sadly, no.
I did see a commercial in passing.
For Gary Oldman, Thor's younger brother, Liam.
Yep. Miley Cyrus's fiancé.
I don't even know that.
I am the bringer of all information, TMZ.
Oh, okay, well.
People, it comes in handy once in a while.
I'm not going to lie. I watch it on occasion.
See? It doesn't always completely suck. Once in a while, it is entertaining. Oh, this looks like an interesting website. I got to save this one. Boop. Done. Oh, I started watching. Yeah, at this point, I'm going to keep all the pre-show. I started watching season 5 of Breaking Bad last night. I have 8 episodes to watch before Sunday night, and I'm 2.5 episodes in. God damn it, I love it so much. So much. So that's going to be taking up a lot of my evening time, bitch. And that only works if you watch the show.
Yeah, so Hollywood Reporter's saying that Bruce Willis left because of a $1 million a day fee demand.
Fee demand?
Bruce Willis left Expendables 3 over $1 million a day fee demand. That he was offered $3 million for 4 days of work.
What the hell?
But drop out at $4 million.
If he doesn't need the money, he doesn't need the money. And you know what? As much as Harrison Ford is working nowadays, I'm thinking he needs the money.
The cat's lying on my mouse.
Isn't that what cats are supposed to do?
No, not this one. It's because...
You have other mice in your apartment?
The one that comes with the computer. God, no. Although, if I did have mice, she is the cat to have. Because she's a mouser. She chases things.
That's good.
And then she would bite it and kill it and drop it on my head while I was sleeping so that I could have a heart attack and die. So that she could eat me. That's all I got.
All right, I got my picks. I just got to write them down.
Oh, I should do that now, shouldn't I? Come on, come around this way. Come on.
I came ready to go for once.
Beep, 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 beep. So, oh shit. You still there?
I'm still here.
Alright, no, the cat just did something. Hold on, let me, I gotta shift my laptop a little bit. Alright, let's see. Cause she seems determined to lie down on the desk. We all here?
Yep.
Okay, Jeff?
Yes.
Okay, and, okay, I'm still recording. Life is good. All right, I have my number one pick and my art house pick.
Three last week.
Pardon?
What was the number three movie last week?
Number three movie was The Smurfs.
Yep.
Bitch. Can I just say bitch all night?
Sure. Doesn't bother me.
Sure.
Hello, kitty. No. Hello. Oh, so I've got that at number one. I still don't know where to go with these picks. For some reason, I sat down here at 10 o'clock, knowing we had to record at 11. Felt like I had all the time in the world, and then just started futzing around on the interwebs, and then all of a sudden Jeff was there. So I've got this. Oh, I know, because I did. That's what I did. That's going to be number two.
For maybe two of three of us, we can easily change the name of the show to Backseat
Bitch.
Procrastinators.
Backseat what?
Procrastinators.
Oh, we'll do that later.
Thanks, Dan.
Okay. All right, I'm going to put this at number three. Oh, good gravy. I'm going to put this at number four. I'm going to put this... Number five.
We only have news item to talk about, and that's the CBS thing.
Blurga. Okay. I have pixes. I have my spreadsheets open. I have a cat that's making this very difficult to maneuver. Damn you. Why do I like you so much?
Now, when... Art assigned us homework to see the Amazing Spider-Man 2 trailer.
Uh-huh.
I found that someone had a bootleg copy of the panel for the Amazing Spider-Man 2 from Comic-Con. Did you see that, Art?
I watched that, yeah.
That was a four-minute clip, if I remember.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, it looks pretty good. I'm still scared about there being two villains, but...
Oh, let me turn my phone to quietness. Because if not, it buzzes, and the buzz actually gets in the recording. I learned that the hard way when I was editing. I'm like, what the hell? Gzz, 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 every 2 seconds. Gzz, gzz. Oh, frig. Come on.
I feel like I watched something, and I'm forgetting what I watched.
Okay. That, maybe, where am I going to put you?
Number four.
Boops. Oh, shoot. There goes my phone. Come back here.
Yeah, I think I'm ready.
Reddies? Arthur? Three.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Wait a minute. Cat taking off. I didn't want her to mess things up. Okay. Hey, this is Lena.
And this is Jeff.
And this is Art.
And we are the Backseat Producers, and you are listening to Backseat Box Office. I almost forgot to say that part. I was just sitting there going, say something. Welcome, everybody, and hello, gentlemen.
I thought that pause looked a little pregnant.
Well, you know, it was funny, because I said, hey, this is Lena, and then he said, hey, this is Jeff. And I have this urge to go, and this is Art. I don't know why.
Okay.
How's everybody doing?
Good.
Movies? Anybody?
Yeah.
Okay. What you got?
So, the Pan Pan, which is the panda.
okay.
in my house
ah.
is still in heavy rotation.
Lovely.
And I slipped in Kung Fu Panda 2. And at first she was a little hesitant because that intro is completely different. And she was starting to go, no, no. And then the panda appeared on the screen, and then she was okay. And she watched the rest of the movie, so I got to watch the rest of the movie, and that was good. And I heard Lorax has been in heavy rotation. Brittany thinks she's seen it about 10 times since last week.
Good God.
So that is what's going on the home front. I went to see The Wolverine.
Uh-huh.
Oh, do tell.
I really enjoyed it. I thought they did a good job of touching on a lot of things from the comics. They had a good amount of action. I thought they did very well with it. It was definitely much better than the first Wolverine movie. I thought the romantic relationship could have been a little better. I think the actress they got to play Marika was very pretty. I don't know that she really carried the character across very well. She was a little, I don't know if I want to say stiff or wooden. I mean, she did a good job, but I think it just could have been better. The other girl who starred in it, who was kind of like a bodyguard, I think did a much better job portraying her character. I liked that character a lot more. I don't know if she just had more to work with, but overall, I enjoyed the movie.
Cool.
And that is it for me.
I intended last night to go see Pacific Rim, partly because I wanted to see Pacific Rim, and the other part because since their backseat producers is recording that, I like to try and see the movie before I do the notes. But I ended up having a little bit of heat stroke yesterday, so I left work early and spent almost the whole rest of the day in bed in the dark, feeling really not happy. So I'm going to attempt, because with all these new movies, Pacific Rim is obviously being pushed out and pushed out. I have no idea if I'm going to be able to see it. I'm still going to attempt it. I really won't know until Friday whether it's around anywhere near me. So, but I am going to see Elysium. That's going to be my birthday movie, bitch.
All right.
Well, they finally opened. They've been like building this thing for, I don't know, 3 years. One of those recliner movie theaters with the swing tray and liquor beverages.
Yeah, I've got a couple of those by me, and I like that. Well, there's one with the recliners, and that place is like, it's like $18 a movie, and it's just nuts. That's just for the movie. There is two other places. That's what?
That's right around, I think I paid $18.50 for Pacific Rim 3D IMAX.
Actually, I'm looking to see how much this place charges for tickets. I know they don't sell tickets online yet, which kind of sucks. So you have to go there and buy the tickets. But you have to be there, let's see. $12 for the tickets.
Okay, well that's not as bad. But there is, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that's what we end up paying. You know, during any, you know, night movie out here.
And if you're, let's see, you must be 21 or older to enter Villaggio Cinemas for shows starting after 7 p.m. on Friday and Saturday evenings. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, with a license, you have to do that, I guess.
Yeah, but there are two other theaters. They're Hollywood Boulevard and Hollywood Palms. And they're all high-back leather executive chairs, and down on the floor they have a few round tables, and the rest is you're sitting at like a countertop that sits in front of you, a long counter. It's $8 to get in, and it's the food and full bar, and the place is decorated to the nines.
Really?
I mean, yeah, the one, the Hollywood Boulevard looks like Man's Chinese Theater.
Oh.
Yeah, with the ceramic, soldiers and the food creatures and the, you know, indoor pagoda and the cement hand signatures and a whole bunch of classic movie posters. And then each of the theaters is themed.
Oh, I
like
that.
So one is like cartoon themed, and one is like action movie themed, and each one has a different theme.
I like
it. And yeah, it is really nice, and it's $8. Anytime you pay for a full price ticket, they give you a coupon that's good, I think, like Monday through Thursday for buy one, get one free on a ticket. The place is crazy. I love going to it whenever I get the chance. I don't live anywhere near it anymore, but I still go down every once in a while.
That's cool.
No, that sounds awesome.
Now, the other place we have is called the Tampa Picture Show, P-I-T-C-H-E-R, and it's like a pitcher of beer is cheap, but it's like that watery Mick Ultra. Food's decent. The chairs are like those kind of plastic, roundy. They have backs, but they're really kind of pleather, so that after sitting watching a movie for 2 hours, you are just totally ass sweaty, which is fun.
Yeah, that's a nice visual.
If you were sitting there, you'd understand. And whoever, they're round tables, so basically whoever kind of grabs the good seat, everyone else has to turn their chairs so that you can't eat and watch the movie at the same time because you're sideways or backwards. So I'm kind of glad that they have the fancy place with the boozy drinks now, because that's what I want.
Interesting.
Eh.
So I guess I did not watch any movies this last week, but I did see a couple trailers, like the Thor: The Dark World that came out today.
I haven't watched. I saw you put it up there, but I forgot to watch it.
Yeah. So yes, I put two trailers up on the Vaxi Producers Facebook page. Thor: The Dark World was one of them, and the other one was The Counselor. I think it's Counselor. I might have the name wrong. But all I need to see was Fassbender.
Oh, that's right.
Bardem and Brad Pitt. Also directed by Ridley Scott, based on a story written by Cormac McCarthy, who I think wrote. My brain's just not working. No Country for Old Men.
Oh, okay.
So, also has Penelope Cruz and Cameron Diaz.
Oh.
But it looks intriguing.
Okay. I don't think I have any movie news.
Okay.
As far as seeing anything.
Okay.
Well, why don't we jump to how the box office did last week.
Alrighty. Let's see. And I am insanely ill-prepared tonight. Man, I'm a mess. I am a hot mess. Okay. Coming in at number one, much to my chagrin, Damn You, was Two Guns, grossing $27.1 million. Pardon?
We don't need a story.
Yeah, we do.
Your plot. We just need Mark Wahlberg and Denzel Washington.
I know, apparently. Grossing $27.1 million. Coming in at number two, The Wolverine, grossing $21.3 million. The Smurfs 2, Go to Hell, opened at three, grossing $17.5 million. The Conjuring came in at number four, grossing $13 million. And Despicable Me 2 came in at number five, grossing $10.1 million. And as far as movie pickings, I think I only need to go through the first five. We did not have any 25s this week, but we did have three 23s from Kugron, Jeff, and Scuba Dave. And Kugron actually ditto Jeff. So, Jeff, why don't you tell the pretty people what you picked?
Okay, pretty people. I had Two Guns at number one. I have the Smurfs 2 at two, and I have The Wolverine at three. So I lost a point by getting those two mixed up. But I did have The Conjuring at four, and I did have Despicable Me 2 at five. So that's how I ended up with a 23.
Congratulations.
I thank you.
Next was 21 points.
30 is what? Questionable, but I was just going to say your sincerity is questionable, but thank you.
I had this image or this thought in my head as I was congratulating you. Did you ever watch Roseanne when it was on?
Mm-hmm.
The episode when Becky and Mark moved into the trailer and Sharon Stone was the neighbor. And she was a welcome wagon. She was just totally trashy. And she's like, I'm the welcome wagon. Welcome, welcome. And she was just all bitchy.
I don't think I saw that
one. Yeah, I remember that one.
Welcome. And that's what I thought of when I congratulated you. Okay, next with 21 points is Scott. He had two guns correct in the number one slot. He had the Smurfs 2 in second and Wolverine in third, flip-flopping those two. He had Despicable Me in 2 in fourth and The Conjuring in fifth, flip-flopping those two. And next up with 20 points is both Nick and Mrs. Beast, and Nick has a voicemail, so let's give a listen.
Hi, this is Nick. Number one, I'm going with the Wolverine. Two, Smurfs. Three, two guns, four, The Conjuring, and five, Despicable Me 2. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, thank you, Nick. And I wanted to share, when Tony emails me the voicemails, Google Voicemail gives you, like, it kind of types out what it thinks the person is saying. And that is the most fun part about doing the scores. Is trying to see what the words are and figure out what they were trying to say. So the only one it got right was it actually got the words the Wolverine correct, which kind of baffled me because the number two movie, The Smurfs 2, came through as She Hurts. Two Guns came through as The 2 Months. The Conjuring came through as But I'm Sure In. Despicable Me 2 was bye, it will be 2. And then at the end when he says thank you, bye bye, it says they are you, bye bye. And it was even more fun when Art and Tad would leave much longer voicemails and I would sit there and read it and try and figure out. I had no clue what you guys were saying. And then I would listen to it later and laugh. But I just wanted to share that. Go over once again what Nick and Mrs. Beast's picks are. They had the Wolverine at number one, giving them a 2-point loss. The Smurfs two. All these twos are just throwing me off. The Smurfs two in second instead of third, losing a point. Two Guns in third instead of first, losing them 2 points. And they had the Conjuring and Despicable Me correct in fourth and fifth. And Art, you are next with 19 points.
Yeah, so a quick aside back to the Google Voice.
Jace.
It just shows you how much smarter Siri is, because when I went to go see the Wolverine, I invited one of my other buddies to come out and see it with me and Tony, and I was driving at the time, so I did it, you know, with the little microphone, and when I said we were going to see the Wolverine, when it printed up in a little text box, it even capitalized Wolverine like it was supposed to.
How proper.
Yes. Okay, so me with a 19. You know, I had everything in a really good position with the exception that I flip-flopped Two Guns and the Smurfs. I really had a lot more faith in those Smurfs. I thought they're, you know, MPH. I thought it was going somewhere, and it didn't. So I put the Smurfs in first. I had Wolverine right where it needed to be, and then I stuck Two Guns where the Smurfs ended up. Then I got the Conjuring, and I got the Despicable Me too. In the right spot. I feel your
pain. And wasn't the Smurfs in like 800 or 900 more theaters?
Yeah, it really was.
So the general viewing public, you disappoint me.
Yeah, what are you gonna do?
Okay. Rounding things up also with 19 points, Father Beast and me. We also had poor faith in the poor viewing public. And we had the Smurfs 2 in number 1, which is a 4-point loss. We had Two Guns in 2nd instead of 1st, the Wolverine in 3rd instead of 2nd, and we also had The Conjuring and Despicable Me correct. So now on to the leaderboard. Oops. I need to find out where BD has been. He's up to 4 weeks without playing, and I just can't have that. I need me some BD lovin'. Okay, Kugron is still in first place with 22.9 points. Jeff, you are in second place, ever so close, 22.6 points. Scott is in third place with 22.3 points. BD in fourth with 22 points. Nick is in fifth, 20.8 points. Art, you're in sixth with 20.1 points. Father Beast and I are tied for seventh with 19.4 points. Mrs. Beast in ninth with 18.3 points. And Scuba Dave is in 10th place with 17.4 points. What the hell? You know, for me to be doing this, you'd think I'm drinking. And the sad part is, I'm not. And I should be. I probably would not make mistakes if I was drinking. Just a little.
You might have to try it next week.
Yeah, I like that.
Just as long as it doesn't interfere with work the next day. You're just kind of settling in now, so.
And even though I'm, you know, nothing, we have to wait for paperwork and whatnot, but this week when I got to work Monday, I actually felt like I worked there and not that, like, I've been a temp for 7 months, which I have been. I still am, but I felt a little, not comfortable, I felt a little more settled, a little, almost like I could kind of work harder because I could relax just a teensy bit. Teensy. Sunday's my birthday, everybody. I want presents. People to send me stuff.
Okay, make us a list.
Would you like some cards from a casino? Because I'll be in Vegas up this weekend.
Okay. Let's see. You're going to be at the casino on Sunday?
Yeah, I'm going to. We're Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Mm.
Excalibur.
But
I think we need to talk about the independent movies.
Oh, mother of God. Why do you do this to me? So you let me close the spreadsheet. What was that?
I didn't hear you say I'm closing the spreadsheet, so Jeff, don't ask me about the archives.
Okay, wait a minute. I'm sorry, Father Beast, because he's the one that wanted me to do this every episode. And it's not that I don't want to, I just have zero memory. Zero. And I even did all the monies and stuff. It's all ready, because normally we'll start the show, and I haven't done a thing with it. Oh. So, the highest average money movie was, and that's why you wanted me to do this, Jeff's pick, The Spectacular... The Spectacular New, it averaged $49,354. Next up was Father Beast's pick, Europa Report, averaging $7,414. Next was Art's pick, Rising from the Ashes, $2,433. And coming in fourth, and I don't even care, was my pick, Cockneys vs. Zombies, that I picked for my former coworker and friend Doreen, which reported nothing. Not that it didn't have anything, it just didn't report anything. So
right.
That will sit at a zero unless at some point in the future they put something up there. But as it stands now, Jeff is now in first, $298,369. I am in second, $275,085. Art is in third, $247,518, and Father Beast is in fourth with $66,805.
So now we got to figure out what your movie did.
Let me see. I actually still have that window open. So
I don't see it. And usually they put background on.
Yeah, it's still all NA. So either it didn't actually open anywhere, or they just never reported anything.
That's weird.
It happens.
Okay.
I've seen that happen.
All right. Well, since that segment's over, why don't we talk about the wide-release opening movies this weekend?
Yeah, you do that.
Art, why don't you start with Elysium?
Okay. Elysium. 69% on the tomato meter. 98% want to see it out of 51,975 user ratings. In the year 2154, two classes of people exist. The very wealthy, who live on a pristine man-made space station called Elysium, and the rest, who live on an overpopulated ruined Earth. The people of Earth are desperate to escape the planet's crime and poverty, and they critically need the state-of-the-art medical care available on Elysium. The Thumb Elysium will stop at nothing to enforce anti-immigration laws and preserve their citizens' luxurious lifestyle. The only man with a chance to bring equality to these worlds is Max, Matt Damon, an ordinary guy in desperate need to get to Elysium. With his life hanging in the balance, he reluctantly takes on a dangerous mission, one that pits him against Elysium's security, Delincourt, Jodie Foster, and her hardline forces. But if he succeeds, he could save not only his own life, but millions of people on Earth as well. Rated R, 1 hour and 37 minutes. Matt Damon, Jodie Foster, and my computer has locked up.
Charlton Copley is also in it, as is Alice Braga, has a small part.
I have no idea who those people are.
I've not heard those names.
I know
Sonia Braga. I don't know Alice Braga.
Oh, I'm sorry. I might have the name wrong.
Oh no, she's the niece of Sonia Braga. It's not an, you know, Braga is not a name you hear very often.
Copley was the lead actor in District 9. He also played Murdoch in the A-Team reboot. He plays the villain in this movie.
Oh, okay.
Or one of the villains, I guess. Okay, so let's talk about one of the comedies that's coming out this week.
Can I back up just 1 second? I just clicked on William Fichtner.
I like him.
I do like him, but the thing that caught my eye, if you look at his filmography on Rotten Tomatoes, also in 2013, they have a list for an untitled Neil Blomkamp project as John Carlyle. Is that the same character? Why are there two listings for 2013 for a Neil Blomkamp project? Do you see this? Is it just...
Hold on.
Wait, are you still in Rotten Tomatoes, or did you move over to IMDb?
I'm in Rotten Tomatoes. Mm-hmm. Oh, never mind. Why are they? It's the same movie. Skip all of that.
Okay.
That's just dumb.
All right.
Sorry, Jeff. Back to you.
No problem. All right. Take two on We're the Millers. Since I opened Elysium, it blew away my We're the Millers. So just give me a second here. Okay. All right. We're the Millers. And this pop-up won't stop walking. Okay. We're the Millers. 33% on the tomato meter. Out of 76 reviews, 25 fresh, 51 rotten. A rather low number, 70% of the people want to see it. All right. So David Burke, played by Jason Sudeikis, is a small-time pot dealer whose clientele includes chefs and soccer moms, but no kids. After all, he has his scruples. So what could go wrong? Well, plenty. Preferring to keep a low profile for obvious reasons, he learns the hard way that no good deed goes unpunished when he tries to help out some local teens and winds up getting jumped by a trio of gutter punks. Stealing his stash and his cash, they leave him in major debt to his supplier, Brad, played by Ed Helms. In order to wipe the slate clean and maintain a clean bill of health, David must now become a big-time drug smuggler by bringing Brad's latest shipment in from Mexico. Twisting the arms of his neighbors, cynical stripper Rose, played by Jennifer Aniston, and wannabe customer Kenny, played by Will Poulter, no idea who that is, and the tatted and pure streetwise teen Casey, played by Emma Roberts, he devises a foolproof plan. One fake wife, two pretend kids, and a huge shiny RV later, the Millers are headed south of the border for a 4th of July weekend that is sure to end with a bang. Rated R, 1 hour and 40 minutes. I pretty much read everyone that's in it. Let's see this. Nick Offerman.
Oh, I love him.
Ken Marino, Thomas Lennon.
Oh, I like them.
I wonder who wrote this. Okay, he never read. I always wonder, because most movies that Lennon is in, or I should say some of the movies that he's in, he's written.
Mm-hmm.
Or co-written. And the choice blurb from Sarah Maria Vizcarondo from the site or blog Movies with Butter If you buy Sudeikis as a black marketeer, he's an Ivy League stripper at best. Maybe you buy Helms as a killer whale collecting kingpin.
Oh, gosh.
So, yeah. All right, so Art, why don't you talk about Planes?
Planes. 23% on the tomato meter. 90% want to see it. That's good.
Okay, I suppose.
People are going to go out to see this movie. Anyway, Cars gets a spinoff with the Disney Toon Studios film starring the voice of Dane Cook as a vertically challenged plane with high hopes of becoming an air racer. Rated PG, 1 hour and 32 minutes. Dane Cook, Stacey Keach, Terry Hatcher, Brad Garrett, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, Cedric the Entertainer, John Cleese, Val Kilmer, Sinbad, John Cryer, and of course, John Ratzenberger.
Oh, of course.
Of course.
Now, one thing that came up last week, I think, after the show, Art and I were looking at the Pixar movies.
What you just held all the fun stuff until I went to bed? Fine, I see how this works.
Well, you know, so anyways, and then we were talking about Wreck-It Ralph as a Pixar movie, to which Art kind of set me straight that that's not a Pixar movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what?
I would have said out.
Pixar movie. I mean, usually if you see John Lasseter as executive producer, it's a Pixar. But I guess there's a, and I guess Planes is also not a Pixar movie, even though it's based on Cars, which is definitely a Pixar movie.
Really?
Yes.
See, I would have assumed Planes was.
Yeah.
I think it's being produced by Disney Toon Studios.
Okay.
Some completely new animal.
Interesting. Huh.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
But is that just a rebranding?
I don't think they're
future.
I don't know. All I can say is I don't know why that is.
Okay.
The one piece of trivia that I heard about Planes is that the Brent Musburger, the sports announcer, is he played a car sports announcer in Cars 2, and he's playing the same character in this Planes. So if you have any...
Such a traitor.
Any questions in your mind, if this is the same world as what was in Cars, yeah, it's the same world.
Huh.
So, yeah, I'm not too excited about it, but we'll probably end up going to see it, even though I would rather see this than Smurfs, of course. All right, so the last movie that we have in wide release is Percy Jackson, Sea of Monsters. This is a 32% tomato meter, out of 62 reviews, 20 fresh, 42 rotten. And instead of it showing how many people want to see it, it says 78% liked it out of 45,683. So anyways, here's a description of the movie. Percy Jackson, the son of Poseidon, continues his epic journey to fulfill his destiny as he teams with his demigod friends to retrieve the Golden Fleece, which has the power to save their home and training ground, Camp Half-Blood. PG, 1 hour and 50 minutes. Ironically enough, directed by Thor Freudenthal.
Thor.
So that being a Norse legend as opposed to Greek legends being source material for these movies. Yeah. Okay. One name that you might not know is in this movie, Nathan Fillion, cast in Malcolm Reynolds as Hermes.
I saw him in the preview.
Oh.
I caught him. They glimpsed him for a second, and I'm like, oh, I saw that.
Oh.
Yvette Nicole Brown from Community is also in this movie. Sean Bean.
Bean. No, love him.
Whether he's going to live or not, I'm sure he'll die. And Gina Carano from that movie that she was in last year, and I can't remember. Was it Hotwire?
I don't remember.
Something like that.
Oh, is that The Fighter?
Yeah.
Haywire.
Yeah. Haywire. And of course not.
Oh, she, and I'm going to bring in my trivia again, She is the ex-girlfriend of the Man of Steel.
Oh, in real life?
Yeah.
Right, okay.
And now he's dating Penny from Big Bang Theory.
Oh, probably felt threatened by Gina.
Well, what I read, because, you know, I'm all about the gossips, that I guess when they were first dating, she was the popular one. She's the MMA fighter, and he was, you know, an actor just working on stuff. And then it became difficult when he was becoming a big name as well. And everyone knows if TMZ says it, it must be true.
Oh, and you skipped Stanley Tucci.
He's at the bottom. Sorry, Stanley Tucci.
He's at the bottom. But you know what? The other week we were talking about actors we would go see anything in. I might put him in that list.
You know what? Because I can't really put anyone in that list, but he is someone that would make me sit up and pay attention and see.
Yeah, I've never seen him in anything I didn't like.
Have you seen The Big Night?
I have not seen The Big Night. That's the one about the restaurant opening?
Yes.
I know of the movie. I did not see it.
Him and Shahoob.
Yes, absolutely.
Good.
It is a wonderful movie. And you will, as soon as the movie's over, you will eat. Just tell him. I'm telling you. I actually, as soon as the movie was over, I went to the grocery store. bought all sorts of pasta fixings and went home and made a couple of friends a gigantic meal. Because I had to. It's just all there was to it.
So, Stanley Tucci's, the name of his character in Percy Jackson and the Sea of Monsters is Mr. D.
Mr. D?
Mr. D.
Mm-hmm.
Spoiler in itself. I'm just kidding. All right, so I believe that's all for the wide release movies.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's move to the pickings.
And you get to go first, Princess.
Oh, how special. Okay. at number one.
I have the wrong pen. Okay.
Elysium ends up number one. So I'm going to put Elysium at number one. Because, you know, come on, Matt Damon. At number two, I'm reluctantly going to put We're the Millers at number two. Because I don't think comedies don't do that great. I mean, recently. But I really don't like the other movies even less. I'm going to put Planes at three just because, you know, the kids, you know, that are still not in school, the little ones need something to watch. And at number four, I'm going to put Percy Jackson. And then my hero from last week, I'm going to put Two Guns at number five. So did you get all that, Lena?
Indeed I did. Elysium, Where the Millers, Planes, Percy Jackson, Two Guns.
And for my indie pick, I am going to go with In a World.
In a World.
In a World.
In a
World. About a vocal coach who, she's the daughter of, I guess, Mr. Movie Trailer Voiceover. And it looked like it had, a good cast.
Hmm.
Rob Corddry, another Ken Marino, Nick Offerman, Gina Davis is in this movie. So we're going to see how this plays out. And those are my picks.
Merkay. Arthur?
Okay, so I don't think we have a single movie in common.
Okay, then why don't you tell us?
I will. Okay, so I'm going to go with Planes in number one. I don't know. I just think that's where I'm going to put it. I'm a little concerned now because, it's not really a Pixar movie. It's a Pixar movie that's not a Pixar movie. But it's still, I'm going to keep it in number one. I'm going to go with Elysium in number two. I'm going to go with Percy Jackson in number three. We're the Millers in number four. Two Guns in number five. And I also am going with In a World.
In a World. So, my picks are nothing like yours. We all have the same five movies, just all flipped over. Although I think I have one in common with, that's it, of all of my picks, I have one in common in putting Elysium first. I'm putting Planes second, We're the Millers in third, Two Guns in fourth, and Percy Jackson in fifth.
Oh, that's going to bite you in the ass.
I'm going to tell Brittany you're flirting with me.
You go ahead. She doesn't care.
And my my art house pick, although I don't even know how many theaters, but is Lovelace, because I want to see it. It looks really good. About Linda Lovelace, and I don't really need to say much more than that.
Yeah, enough said.
Enough said. Looks like a great cast. Looks like a really cool movie. I've heard good things about it. And news items, peoples? I had one, but it's a common one, so Art will go into that.
You can go first. Go first and take it. You got something to talk about? Kick it off.
Well, I didn't save it.
Sorry to put you on the spot.
No, that's okay. It was the Harrison Ford in, Bruce Willis out of Expendables 3.
Yes, I thought that was very interesting. It's, we were talking about earlier, over money, that just seems really weird. But, you know, Bruce Willis has been very successful, so if he wants to quibble over $1 million, I guess he's entitled. And my commentary was, apparently Harrison Ford needs the money because he is working like crazy. I mean, you were saying earlier in the year that you were just, he was everywhere.
Yeah.
And now he's just, here he is popping up again. You know, I thought he would never go back to the whole Star Wars franchise. You know, they've talked about, they've got him on board for that because of the lady who's kind of heading up that division now.
No, I was going to say, he's also, isn't he going to be in Ender's Game as well?
Yeah, he's in Ender's Game.
Damn it, he's everywhere.
He is, so, you know, hey.
Were you saying something, Jeff?
He's on next week's Paranoia.
He's on what?
Next week's movie, Paranoia.
Good God.
Yeah, he's in that too.
He's everywhere. Maybe his Social Security payments ran out.
Something.
I don't know why I said that.
Maybe he's got grandkids going into college. You know, that can get expensive.
Well, he does. He's got, what's her name, has a little boy. Callista, I need to eat something.
Are they still together?
I believe so. Did they get married?
I really don't follow. So when I ask that question, I really was in all honesty.
Well, I don't like her, so, you know. But
I totally watched the, what was that show?
Don't, no, no, no. Hated that show. Stupid, freaky-ass computer baby gave me nightmares.
Yeah, but that was a meme before that. The reason they put it on the show is because it was exploding on the internet. So
it's freaky and stupid, and I don't like her like I don't like Claire Danes, although Claire Danes once has redeemed herself to me. And yes, Harrison Ford is married to Calista Flockhart.
Okay.
Claire Danes, I don't know if you, it was an HBO movie. Oh my God, it's just escaping me now. The one where she played the autistic woman.
Got nothing.
Oh, she's fantastic in it, but I just can't think of what it is. She was so very good in it.
Harrison Ford is going to be in five movies this year. Oh, I'm sorry, four movies this year.
Wow.
42, Paranoia, Ender's Game, and then Anchorman, The Legend Continues.
He is? And remember, he was in 42 also.
He started with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the a good year. He was in one in 2011, wasn't anything in 2012, two in 2010.
The movie that I could not remember is Temple Grandin, who's the name of the woman that she plays. She did a fantastic job, and I believe she won a People's Choice or a Golden Globe, but she did win something for it. She did a fantastic job on that movie. And I was actually happy that she won. I rooted for her, which is something you're almost never going to see me do when it comes to Claire Danes.
Okay.
I just I do not find her. With that exception, I do not understand the talent of that girl.
I do think she's pretty. No.
Oh, art.
I'm kidding. I actually enjoy the stuff that she does. And she's pretty.
She looks like she's always about to burst into tears and or throw up.
I understand the throw up part. She does always look like
those eyes, yeah.
I don't know. All right. Jeff, what do you got?
Well, the only news item that I want to talk about was this whole CBS / Time Warner business. And Art, what did you have before you switched to DirecTV? Did you have Time Warner?
No, I had before I switched to DirecTV was Comcast. So who is that? I don't know who owns them, but that's what I've got up here, Comcast.
So basically the story is that CBS is, according to Time Warner, price gouging Time Warner. They're charging way too much for them to carry CBS and I think Channel 9, at least Channel 9 out here, and Showtime. Mm-hmm. And as DirecTV has done this multiple times, that they said we're not going to buy it, and then the subscribers end up losing a channel. And so I think for the last 5 or 6 days that subscribers of Time Warner Cable do not have Channel 2.
Wow.
And it's getting more ugly than what I've seen in the past. Because as a DirecTV subscriber, when these things happen, they just put on the channel, please contact the other company and say, mm-hmm. lower your price, or, you know, I want my channel, or whatever they do. Or, you know, that they employ that strategy. But things are getting a little more nasty because when Time Warner decided not to show CBS anymore, CBS went ahead and blocked anyone going to CBS.com from Time Warner.
What?
Now, you can't even stream anything CBS does over the internet.
Wow. Anyone?
Anyone? Well, they can tell what network you're coming from.
Oh, goodness.
If you're coming from the Time Warner broadband, they can just block access to the CBS sites.
That's
wow.
So, I mean, things are definitely getting worse. But it got me to thinking, you know, do either of you, would you ever leave not having cable? Or let me rephrase that. Would you ever not have cable or DirecTV?
No. I've thought about this, especially when I was unemployed, and I had one friend's like, you know, you have to have the internet when you're unemployed. It's, you know, 98% of all job searches are all through the internet. You have to have that. You can do without cable, but no, I can't.
The question is more, would you not have cable or satellite for your TV service? I understand you have to have internet.
Uh-huh.
I'm mainly saying because I do have one or two friends like Scuba Dave.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have cable or DirecTV or satellite, and he doesn't watch a lot of TV because he just can't afford to have cable right now.
Okay.
And I'm just wondering because I met another guy at a party and he says he just torrents everything.
Yeah, I've cut that cable before. It doesn't bother me. Brittany can't live without cable.
Well, I totally. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the other thing, and what you mentioned before was Scuba Dave doesn't watch a whole lot of TV, you said.
Mm-hmm.
And I do. And there are some things that I can't really get streaming. If I really had to, if for financial reasons I really had to, then sure, of course I would.
I mean, if you ended up doing Netflix for $80 a month, you probably would just watch everything about 6 months after it was on television.
Yeah, but that would kind of annoy me. Because I do have Netflix and...
Well, you could do something like Hulu Plus for the same price. And that's
true.
Yeah.
More what's on the network currently now.
Okay.
So, sometimes just a few days later.
That's not bad.
Sometimes the night of, depending on the program.
Did I tell you guys what they're doing with Breaking Bad on Netflix?
No.
I couldn't remember if I had mentioned it last week or not. I read, and I didn't save it, unless I did and I forgot about it. But Netflix, since this, starting on Sunday, it will be season 6 of Breaking Bad and their final season. I read that Netflix will be showing each episode the next day, which I think is pretty damn cool. And I'm also wondering if they do that because it is so known that people have been mainlining Breaking Bad to get caught up. So I thought it was kind of a cool thing, actually.
Oh, that's actually, you know, a business responding to probably customer, you know, what the customer wants.
Yeah. Right.
Because I know what was happening in the past. For example, when once season five started, then they would release season 4. So unless you were DVRing season 5, which I was not, you still weren't catching up on everything. But they released season 5. They released season 5 last week, so people could get caught up. Because I do want to see it as it's happening. As much as I like the whole, you know, mainlining things, now I've got the whole Orange is the Next Black syndrome, where I've seen the whole first season, and I don't even know how long I have to wait for the next season.
I'm savoring it.
I have a voracious appetite in all things. And I need to also figure out where I am with Sons of Anarchy. I think I'm a season behind as well, but I need to see where that is Netflix-wise and whether I'm up to speed or not. Because I like that one, too. Doop, 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 doop.
Well, I think that's all I had with the CBS Time Warner. So let's move to the next news item.
Okay. Johnny Depp and Armie Hammer make the ridiculous claim that critics tank the Lone Ranger. I actually got an email about this just today from Tony Bruno, and him seeing that same article and just not, you know, being, because he really enjoyed the Lone Ranger. Here he sent me this email. This is linked to some quotes by Johnny Depp and Armie Hammer about why the Lone Ranger flopped. Basically, they say the critics canned the movie before they ever saw it. I'm not sure if that is accurate, but it did seem like they had it out for the Lone Ranger. In fact, I was more perturbed by the fact that the Lone Ranger wasn't an actual Texas Ranger than I was with any of the stuff they said in the reviews. It wasn't perfect by any means, but enjoyable nonetheless. When you do see the movie, try to remember the reviews and then the info in the link to see if you agree with Depp's assessment. I remember the critics destroying Weekend at Bernie's, Pirates of the Caribbean, and Lethal Weapon 2. All of those movies were awesome, and the flaws portrayed by the critics were either false or overstated. That's when I stopped paying attention to critics. Unless I hear something is really good, then I would watch something that didn't appeal to me at first. I don't put The Lone Ranger on par with these other three movies, but not as bad as what the critics say, and definitely worth the money. So that's what Tony sent to me.
Yeah, I didn't understand. Wow, I'm echoing myself. I didn't understand why they trashed it so much. I didn't get that. And I don't know if it's kind of that whole, because it's a remake, we have, you know, XXX expectations, and it better be the best friggin' movie in creation because you're remaking it. I rarely go into movies having expectations like that. Rarely. They trashed the hell out of it, and I really did not understand why. That's it.
Okay. No, that's perfectly fine. Do you think the critics, do you think they had that much influence? Do you think they really influenced the movie going public to the point where the movie just completely bottomed out?
You know what? I absolutely do. And I can point to some friends of mine, for example, reading things on Facebook. A friend of mine who is just, he's a movie whore. He will see everything and anything, and he just loves, he'll ingest movies and he'll talk about it. And he does the same thing with books. And I can't remember which movie it was. Might have been Man of Steel, actually. And I remember reading a Facebook post of his before it came out saying that he was really looking forward to Man of Steel and he'd been dying for this movie to come out and how exciting. And then I read this review and someone didn't like it and I'm so disappointed now I'm not going to see it. And it's like, you ass. Just go see this stupid movie. Make up your own mind. And even my friend, Laurie, who hates for me to say her name, Laurie. it was the same thing with, we were going to see Pacific Rim 2 weekends ago, and for whatever, I think she was feeling sick, I wasn't feeling too hot. We didn't go, but then she started with, well, the reviews, meh. I could give a shit about the reviews. Really? I mean, unless there's some huge flaw in the movie that the reviewer is going to point out, I want to see it. If I see the trailer and it interests me and it pulls me in, I'm probably going to want to see it. But I absolutely do agree that yes, reviewers can do damage. They absolutely can do damage. That's it.
Okay.
I have no way to like gracefully end my rants. Okay, I'm done.
I'm dead.
On the financial side, they're going to end up losing $190
million.
Mm.
Major. Even though they just fell short of expectations for the movie unit, but they still had a good quarter because theme parks were up, and I don't know what else they made money on, but. And as you were talking, I pulled up the Rotten Tomatoes for Lone Ranger. Audience, 61% still liked it.
See?
Yeah.
28% of the reviewers didn't like it. Or I guess 28% did like it.
Yeah, I don't usually let reviewers sway me that much, and I totally... All the negative buzz just completely pushed me away.
And there you go. That's
yeah, no, really. It's how that went down.
Reviewers are a tiebreaker for me. So if I'm on the fence on whether I want to see it, then, you know, I might listen to the reviews. But if there's an actor or it's a genre that I like, I'm still going to go see it.
I was totally entertained by it. It was over 2 hours, and I didn't even feel like it went on for that long, although the reviewers were like, you know, they totally trashed the fact that it was such a long movie. They trashed the violence. They trashed, you know, obviously Johnny Depp and the fact that he played him a little snarky, as he tends to do. But, you know, I didn't find the character, I didn't find Tonto to be a farcical character at all. It was, you know, a few little bits of humor here and there. I dug it. And to me, it's almost the same thing as, same but a little different as The Hobbit. There were a lot of people with massive expectations about The Hobbit and then saw it and picked it apart. Not reviewers, but just actual, you know, peeps at the movies.
Right.
I wanted to be entertained by singing dwarves, and I was. That's it.
Yeah, but Hobbit made a lot more money than Lone Ranger did.
True.
Yeah.
And The Hobbit, as long as it was, that very last scene totally pulled me. I'm like, I am so going to be there for the next movie. If they ran the second movie immediately following, I'd have sat there for another 2.5 hours. That very last scene at the end, I'm like, yeah, I'm there.
See, because, you know, for The Hobbit, there's a much stronger, I guess, fanboy community.
You're right.
As opposed to Lone Ranger.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a interesting. You know, John Carter was 2012, right?
I think so.
Yeah. So this is 2 years in a row that Disney has had something blow up in their face.
Yeah. You know, both of these... They're things that are, they're iconic, but they haven't really been a franchise for how long?
True.
Mm. Ay, ay, ay.
Okay, moving on. Did you guys see on the upcoming release list, Saturday Morning Mystery?
No.
No, sir.
Okay. I don't know if it was on the Rotten Tomatoes list, and I pulled it up because it caught my eye. It sounded interesting. And but the reason I didn't go with it was because it's a Watch It Now thing on iTunes. $14.99 to buy, $3.99 to rent. But four professional ghost hunters who travel in a vintage van accompanied by their canine companion get far more than they bargained for when they investigate an abandoned schoolhouse with a mysterious past.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Ruh-roh.
Exactly. So I really feel like I have to watch this movie.
And so the movie's completed?
Yeah, it's available to watch it now through iTunes. It was just in the release list on Rotten Tomatoes when you pull up the list for new movies coming out. So I don't know that it's going to be in theaters as well if they're doing one of those like dual releases. Some limited release somewhere, but Saturday Morning Mystery.
Cooly.
And then, last but not least for me, the pint-sized YouTube star Sophia Grace making major movie debut in Disney's Into the Woods.
Oh.
So you've seen the video.
I've seen many videos of her, yes.
Many videos of her singing, yeah. Quite the little singer, quite the little charmer.
She is.
Disney reps confirmed with Yahoo Movies that Sophia Grace has landed the role of Little Red Riding Hood in Into the Woods, a long-awaited screen adaptation of Stephen Sondheim's and James Lapine's celebrated musical. The story, which brings together characters from a handful of classic children's stories, has already attracted an A-list cast, including Johnny Depp as the wolf, Meryl Streep as the witch, Anna Kendrick as Cinderella, and Emily Blunt as the baker's wife, putting Sophia in prime position to make a huge splash with her first film appearance.
Hmm. I can see her in that role. I really can.
I don't
know if she has the chops yet, but what about Rosie? Is she going to be in the movie? Because that would be horrible if Rosie's not in the movie.
They didn't say anything about Rosie. And you know what? I only watched the one video of her doing the Nicki Minaj song.
Mm-hmm.
Rosie was just kind of bumbling around in the background, hopping and bopping and not really participating. I haven't seen anything else. You tell me different.
Rosie, she likes to do the dancing. She does very little singing, but she basically... She is support, and she's supportive to her cousin. They have fun doing that together. She likes doing the dancing part.
Okay.
She is as cute as a baby duck. Come on, baby ducks are cute.
Oh, cute little baby duck.
She
laughing
is,
along on
yes.
the linoleum floor.
But she is not as much, she's not the ham that her cousin is. But if you ever, I mean, you can look them up on YouTube. They... many, 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 many times are on the Ellen DeGeneres show. Ellen loves them. She buys them things. So, because actually, after that Super Bass video first hit, Ellen had them on her show and had Nicki Minaj surprise them.
Yeah, I saw.
Did you see that one?
I did not watch it, but it came up as like the next video in line to watch when you watched it on YouTube. So.
Yeah, little Sophia Grace almost pees herself with excitement. She's beside herself.
I'm sure. I was telling Brittany about the story, and she had on couples therapy, and I'm down to the bottom of the story. She goes, "You realize I'm not listening to a word you say." So I was like, "Fine, whatever." So I clicked on the YouTube link, and I turned the volume all the way up. And within 30 seconds, she was next to the computer watching this little girl sing her heart out and going, "Oh, my goodness, that's adorable."
They are both so damn cute.
So I let it speak for itself. All right. And I guess that is it for news.
Actually, I have one more thing that I just remembered while you were talking. And my browser just froze, so hold on a second. It has to do with Mr. Carl Urban.
Uh-huh. You have my attention.
All right. So there's an article that I found on badassdigest.com. Actually, I found it on Reddit, but it took me to badassdigest.com. Mm-hmm. All right, so the title of the article, Carl Urban wants Star Trek to quit rehashing old shit.
Hmm.
Talking to Eichmann, Urban says, what I really believe we should do now is strive for originality. In Star Trek Into Darkness, we took one of the most revered and loved adversaries of the Enterprise and put him in there and did a story that had all these wonderful nods to films from the past and episodes from the past. I really think that what we should do from here is strive to be original, strive to be something different and new. Oh my God, I just about fell out of my chair when I read this. Oh, he goes on. Let's not forget that Star Trek, as envisioned, was about space exploration. It would be really wonderful to harness the spirit of that and apply it to the next film so that we do something different than a revenge-based picture.
Dig it.
Last line of the article. Fucking A, Carl Urban. People at Bad Robot were listening to the real Trek fans in their midst. All right, he wins. I'm done.
He almost always wins. Thank you very much. He's sexy. That's all I'm going to say.
Uh-huh.
He is.
I cannot confirm or deny that allegation.
He's a good-looking man. I will say that.
Thank you. There is no threat in saying that in agreement.
No, I'm totally okay with that. Okay. Now, I'm going to send you guys a little link.
Okay. Boink. I got 20 minutes in the pool before the thunder and lightning hit. I have such a small window to get some pool exercise in.
Oh.
See, if I use the gym here, after 10 minutes, I'll be like, I'm exhausted, I can't move, I'm done. But if I go in the pool, I can be in there for an hour swimming and such, getting all exhausted. And I'm in the pool, so I don't really sweat. That's always a plus.
The pool is a good workout.
It is. I enjoy it. I mostly backstroke because I have a bum shoulder. And the backstroke actually hurts my shoulder the least.
Ah.
And I'm not... I can swim. I can do all the swimmy things. But it's been such a long time, and I am so insanely out of shape that to freestyle, I can't quite get that throw your head to the side, breathe, put your head back down again, I would just choke and die. So this way, if I backstroke, I can breathe.
See, I freestyle, and I just keep my head up the whole time because I'm not racing anywhere. I don't need to be doing the whole head tilt, you know, breathe only when your head is out of water. That's just way too complicated.
I hold my breath and just, when I freestyle, I just stick my head in the water, hold my breath for as long as possible, and then when I'm done, I stop.
Yeah.
But I like backstroke. And it's kind of, if once in a while, I can actually kind of luck out and have the pool to myself. Sometimes for over an hour, which is very nice. It's a four-leaf clover kind of pool shape. So there's all different lengths of laps. And when I have the pool to myself, I can do that full diagonal lap.
Oh.
And it's interesting because very often I can't swim in a straight line. So I'll start, and I actually have counted the strokes with my arms. If I actually stay in a straight line, it's about 50 strokes. But, you know, sometimes I'll just be swimming, and then I'll hit 25 and just bang my arm against the wall and realize I've done almost a full U-turn. I don't know how. Number one, how do I do that? How do I not know I'm doing that? How do I not feel myself swimming almost in a circle?
If you don't have a good point of reference.
Just because my eyes are closed, so I'm just...
Yeah.
Swish, 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 swish. I'm just enjoying myself. Hey, the cat's back. Hello.
Oh, well, see, is this indoor or outdoor?
Oh, it's an outdoor. It's actually right. It's literally like 10 steps from my apartment door, which is really nice.
So even if you had your eyes open, all you see is the sky. You still have no point of reference.
True. And I would be blind because it's sunny. I just, you know, I enjoy, I'm a water baby. And I forgot when I was a kid, we had an above ground pool. Other kids on the street had built in pools and especially during the summer, we would just kind of spend back in the, oh my gosh, this is the late 70s, early 80s, when you were kids and you could be out on this playing on the street with your friends until midnight, when you could do this. And we would basically start at the bottom of the street and then just pool hop our way all the way up to the top of the street with each one of us that had different kinds of pools.
Nice.
Them be the days. And I kind of forgot how much of a water baby I was until I started going into this pool here. And the first time I was in there, I was in for 2 hours and didn't even realize it. I was just so happy. Splash, splash, yeah. Splash.
Yeah, you're like my ex in that way. She's total, and she used the exact same term, water baby.
Well, yeah.
And Italian. And a few other ways, too. Yeah, just like her, only not a bitch, so whatever.
Thank you for throwing... I was like, I have no idea where this conversation's going, but it could get kind of...
I was waiting for the build-up to the shocking reveal.
And her name's Lena. Da-da-da!
Da-da-da!
Although I did, one time... I think Becca was telling a story about an ex of her husband's whose name, I don't know if she was Lena, but it spelled Lena like my name. And apparently she's a little on the crazy side. People have such interesting, I remind you of your ex, oh goody.
Yeah.
Apparently I remind Becca of her husband's crazy ass ex.
There are some similarities. You in personality, no way remind me of her, except for the fact that you're Italian and can be a little loud. And I'm sure you talk with your hands, but that has nothing to do with personality.
True. And yes, I do. And yes, I am.
Yeah. But, you know, that goes back to the old joke. How do you get an Italian to shut up? You make them sit on their hands.
I do. I absolutely. When we record, my hands are all over the place. All over the place. And you have to be loud when you're Italian. It's the only way you get heard during family gatherings.
I know. I went to many, many family gatherings with her, and they were all very, very loud.
I'm actually one of the quietest in my family. Believe it or not.
I'm looking at the link that Art sent.
Oh, I didn't look at it yet. Hold on.
There's a menu.
Where is it?
The food, it's decent fare.
Where is it? I don't see it.
It's right in the chat thingy.
I'm looking. I don't
know. I found it by, you know, there's a tab that says recent.
Yeah.
It didn't show in my actual chat window. I had to click up there to find it.
Is it under his? I don't see it under his, and I don't see it under yours. So where do you see it? Because under recent, I have our group call, I have Art, and then I have you.
Oh, did I send it?
Did you just send it to Jeff again?
Maybe. You know what? I do not claim to make these things work very well. I'm not so good.
Not complaining about a postal worker.
Sensing a pattern. Twice he has sent links only to Jeff. You have all the fun conversations after I went to bed last week.
Okay, let's see. There you go, Lena. It's heading your way.
Thank you.
Very sorry.
I'm clickling now.
You can consider that a birthday present. Lord of the Onion Rings.
Oh, we're looking at the menu?
Yeah, it's all themed.
Where's the menu?
It's excellent nachos.
Ah!
That totally come with jalapenos.
The Godfather's garlic cheese breadsticks. Once upon a time in quesadilla.
That was my first one. Scrolling down. Sandwich called the Big Lebowski Burrito.
The Chuck Norris chicken. There's nothing chicken about this spicy buffalo kicking sandwich that packs a punch and is as awesome as Chuck himself.
And the curse of the dreaded Mexican beer fish.
The Whoopi Goldberger, come on!
I love the Whoopi Goldberger.
That looks good.
That was my go-to when I go there.
Great beefy Angus burger with cheddar cheese, bacon, and our special barbecue sauce.
Either that or the Attack of the Mushroom Burger. Oh, which totally reminds me. Okay, Attack of the Mushroom Burger.
Mm.
I totally had a... Okay, so you guys have seen, obviously, that I got sucked in finally by Candy Crush.
Yes, I was going to bring that up. Bless your heart.
So I got sucked in by Candy Crush, and I was thinking of, and I don't know why, but I put this in, this, you know, I was bored, I had nothing else going, I'm just kind of sitting in line, I figure I'll just, you know, I'll load it up, I'll give it a try, we'll see, you know, blah, 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 blah. And for whatever reason, that just giving it a try and then getting sucked in totally gave me a flashback to a movie I saw as a kid that completely and totally terrified me.
Huh.
Matango. Or also, yes, Matango.
I don't know what that means.
Also, I'm looking it up.
Also known as Fungus of Terror and Attack of the Mushroom People.
Ah! 1963
Japanese tokusatsu movie.
That's why I don't know what it is.
So it was this totally cheesy, you know, Japanese boat gets stranded by this island. There's mushrooms all over the place. They're stuck. They're stranded. They don't have any food. They don't have any water. People are disappearing. And it turns out you eat the mushrooms and you turn into a mushroom person. And the whole thing is told from the perspective of one guy at the end. He's telling the story of what happened.
Did he become a mushroom?
He did not become a mushroom, but he's in this cell. They've got him in a jail cell, and he's telling the story. He's narrating the story, and they're like, okay, well, you know, they say something about moving on, whatever, blah blah blah, and he's like, I can't move on, you know, and he moves into the light a little, and you see half of his face. He goes, because in the end, I finally had a bite, and he turns, and half of his face. Half of his face has mushrooms on it, and I was, it just, as a small child, just completely scarred me. So, and for whatever reason, my brain put these two points together, and I started playing Candy Crush, and I have eaten the mushroom. It is too late for me.
Yep. I have spent, for months, I've been at this friggin' level, and I will not give up. I get so close, and then nothing.
So yeah, I'm totally sucked in. I don't know what to do.
Keep playing.
Yeah,
you
did. You warned me. Don't eat the mushrooms. I almost forgot to bring it up, and then I saw the Attack of the Mushroom Burger.
There you go. When I would talk about it at work, there were two other coworkers of mine who played. And we would, you know, talk about it and. That's when we started, like, Facebooking each other so we could give each other lives because some of them were only playing on their phone. And they're like, what? You can get lives from it? What? I'm like, hey, Facebook me, bitch. Come on. And within probably 3 weeks, there were seven other people playing. Like, I would just come home and turn on Facebook. I'm like, hey, now Judy's playing. Hey, now Jessica's playing. Jessica has her boyfriend playing. Hey, now Nikoya's playing. Just all these people started playing. And all, like, Facebook friending me so that we can give lives.
And another level of the pyramid gets built.
Yes. Okay.
What do lives do? Because I'm still... I'm very new.
That's okay. You know when you play, you have five lives, five hearts.
Okay. And what happens if you lose your lives? You lose a life every time you...
Every time you don't finish a round, or if you're in a round that has bombs and the bombs go off. So any round that you don't finish, you lose a life. Any level that you don't finish.
Okay.
And you get a maximum of five lives. And every 30 minutes, you get a new life.
Okay.
But friends can send you lives. But the one thing I've noticed, which I find very annoying, is that when I play on my computer and I have messages that others have sent me lives, if I'm at my maximum of five, I can't hold on to those for later.
Right.
So what I do, but if I'm on my phone, I'm playing on my phone and I'm linked up to Facebook, I can play those lives and then go to the messages after the fact. But when you play directly on the laptop, the messages pop right up and it's like use it or lose it. So if I see that I have messages from other people, I'll play on my phone first so that I can try and use up extra lives that people have sent me. But when people send me extra moves, I can only use those on the laptop. I can't use extra moves on the phone. I know not why. It's just the way it is.
Okay. So I see the lives now. I never even noticed it. I've never ran out of lives. So
it's
I don't
in
know.
Time. Give it
time. I play. I don't know. I guess. I don't know. I mean, there are levels that I've lost repeatedly over and over and over again. I never even noticed the whole lives thing. So now I'm going to have to go crack at it. Maybe I've just got enough friends who are just constantly sending me lives.
It is entirely possible.
Because, I mean, I got the app all loaded. I start looking through the people who are on it. I'm like, oh, yeah, that person, that person, that person, that person, that person, that person. It's like, you know. Yeah, I'm like, I don't have a lot of friends. I mean, it's probably 100 and something. But I think half of them are playing Candy Crush.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I think I have about 6 or 7 that play.
At this point, I know I'm probably over a dozen that play Candy Crush. And some that I wouldn't even have imagined they played games like that. And then I'll just come and look and like, hey, someone who you never talk to is asking for, well, okay. I don't like you, but sure, I'll give you a life.
I'm totally snubbing all my ex's friends.
You know what?
I haven't defriended them yet, you know, just because, I haven't taken the time to do it. But I'm not sending any lives to any of them.
I'm okay. I understand that.
Nah, what are you going to do?
I would probably do the same thing. So, yeah, I want to see Elysium this weekend for my birthday movie in the lounge chair. And, you know, I've been doing this thing whenever I talk about it, and I don't know why. Whenever I talk about this Villaggio theater with the lounge chair, I do this motion like a stick shift. I'm like, tch, tch, tch. And I don't know why, because recliners don't have stick shifts.
Well, they have that one stick on the thing.
It does, but I'm just like, tch, tch, tch. Like I keep doing like the Prindle, and I'm like moving the thing all over the place. I want my chair to have this. I want to just sit there and play with the thing on the chair. And I want to have drinkies. I want to have nice drinks. And I want to, if I think, let me see if I can, Villaggio Theater Tampa. Let's see. I'll send a link to just one of you, so there.
I just looked it up, haha.
VillaggioCinemas.com.
I don't need your stupid link.
Fine, be that way. No wonder you're divorced.
That's just mean. Maybe you are a bitch.
Get along, though.
What?
Aren't divorce couples... Welcome to Backseat Marriage Counselors. I'm your host.
I will be your moderator.
Dang, I completely forgot. Oh my god, I completely forgot we're recording. Shit.
Yeah, we didn't say bye yet.
No, we didn't, did we? It's okay.
I'm perfectly fine with that.
Although I will say that the things on the menu don't have the nifty names that yours do. But I want a drink, and I want fried calamari, and probably popcorn, which probably doesn't go well together, but it's the movies. I want popcorn. But that's where I want to go either. I'm assuming Friday will be busier than Saturday, but I think it'll still be busy. But I want to go Saturday for my almost birthday. Yes. And I think that's it.
Okay.
All right.
Anything, Jeff? You good?
No. I found another news story that is just a passing mention. Okay. Netflix removes Star Trek 3 to make aliens easier to understand.
Huh?
So apparently Netflix has decided that the Klingon subtitles are below Netflix quality, so they're going to pull the movie off an instant until they can get better subtitles on it.
Oh.
How is that? How is this a thing? I just don't. Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense to me. Is it? And I've not seen it. Is it subtitled?
Yeah.
So what? So confusing. blink? Are they trying to get better subtitles? I don't understand what it means. Why do I have Facebook open three times? What the hell?
Yeah, so what they're going to do, it says this either means A, that the Netflix instant version of Search for Spock will have the most impressively accurate Klingon and Vulcan subtitles ever, or Netflix is a fan of creating unnecessary work for itself. Not that both things are simultaneously true, or can be simultaneously true, of course. Oh my god, yeah, get on Star Trek.
Well, it says it's only going to be gone for about a week. Still, that's the stupidest thing!
Yes.
Gay.
As a Star Trek fan, I still can't get behind that.
I understand.
If you really want it, if it was really that hard to understand, learn Klingon before you watch the movie. So, yes, I will be in Vegas at someone's wedding, so I probably will not see any movies.
Okay.
Unless we can work it out somehow. Maybe there's a... We can do an on-demand in the room or something like that. But to be honest, I'd probably rather be gambling or drinking or something like that, so maybe not.
Have a drink for me on Sunday.
And
probably be hungover.
It's okay.
If you go see a movie in Vegas, there's probably going to be a crying baby in the theater. So it's really just not worth it.
True. Very true.
Okay, so you just made me find something else. Leonard Nimoy and other big names in the sci-fi arena have endorsed a new project from original Star Trek writers David Gerald and D.C. Fontana and producer David C. Fine that's aiming to raise funds via Kickstarter. The trio are using the crowdfunding platform to raise money to shoot and create a new science fiction adventure series titled The Star Wolf. So far, they have raised $52,000 of their $650,000 goal.
Oh, my God. You know, if he really wanted to, he could probably just re-record the ballad of Bilbo Baggins.
I like that.
So now I'm going to have to check out this Kickstarter.
Oh, come on, Art. Don't.
What? I just said check out. I'm just going to look.
Yeah.
That's not the type of thing I back.
Yeah, but Art, why is your credit card out of your wallet? What are you clicking on?
No. It all goes through Amazon. All my information is already loaded in.
Oh, excuse me. All right. For a second there, I thought you were an amateur in money laundering, not a professional. Excuse me. So, yeah. I think we're ready to put this one to bed. So, happy birthday, Lena.
Thank you.
Yes, Lena. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
They're up to $88,000 now. Oh.
Can we have a Kickstarter for my birthday?
Wait a second.
Mm.
How old is this story that I clicked on?
Oops.
Yeah, no doubt. Oh, this came and went and didn't even come close. This was from May, and it didn't fund at the beginning of June.
I do have a favor to ask of both my co-hosts and anyone that listens to this.
Uh-huh.
Scuba Dave has recently joined Twitter. So please follow lewd_gingersnap.
You know, I saw you do put that thing there, but then I was like, well, he's got it locked, so I don't know if... But if he's okay with this, then I will be happy to follow lewdgingersnap. Because if that's not the best goddamn Twitter handle, I don't know what is.
What is a lewdgingersnap?
Okay, so here's how he came up with that. He has red hair, so he's a ginger.
Okay.
So he went to Ginger Snap, and he had four letters left. Because I guess there's a maximum of 15 in a Twitter handle.
Okay.
And the first four-letter word he thought of was lewd.
I like him already.
Okay.
He's aces in my
searching for
book.
Lewd ginger.
Nope, I couldn't find it. So I'm actually going to find Jeff's... I'm going to find yours and then get his through there.
Am I misspelling lewd?
No, but I can't think if...
There might not be... No, there's underscore.
Yeah, that was the thing. I didn't have underscore.
Is it case sensitive? No.
Why? Okay. Here it is. Lewd_gingersnap.
I got nothing.
Then go to Jeff's lewd_gingersnap.
Oh.
It was the lewd that got you, didn't it?
It was. I asked if I was misspelling lewd.
I didn't hear how you were spelling it.
No, I didn't say.
Okay.
I was too embarrassed. I'm a terrible speller.
I can sometimes be a grammar Nazi.
Sometimes.
Really?
Pending. I have to wait for approval?
Yes. I always have to wait to be accepted by a ginger.
You know, I haven't tweeted anything in like more than a week. Uh-huh. And I come back to my Twitter and I've got 4 new followers. And I don't know why.
Are they ones that you'd want, or are they just people who've tapped on? I get weird ones sometimes. I got like a Tampa stockbroker who buys my stocks. Go to hell. I can't even buy bread. Buy my stocks.
Well, one is a follow back, The Ideology of Madness, followed me after I followed them, I'm sure. One is Weird Tales. I don't know what that's about.
Kitties?
Oh, collaborating storytelling card game for 3 to 6 players. We talk about games.
Like, once I started following a couple of authors, I was getting tons of them. And a couple of them I actually followed, but some of them I didn't, because it was just getting insane at that point.
Yep, whatever. All right.
Okay. I'm sure everyone is fast asleep or have crashed their cars into trees, so they don't have to start listening to us anymore.
Well, you know what?
Hashtag this edit points.
I know, I'm going to listen to this later going, should I keep all of this shit? I probably will leave it all. I much like Pimp of the Internet, I do very light editing.
And by light, you mean none?
Once in a while, I mean, it is a rare occasion that I will actually edit something out. If my call drops or something sounds funky and I can't piece it together to make it sound good, then I'll pull that out. But not, you know, it's nothing that's going to affect the show. It's just, you know, can you hear me? I'm back. What happened? Hey, Lane is back. I leave it there if it flows, but sometimes I'll cut that out. And I think once I said something stupid. I don't remember what it was, but I do remember cutting out something I said once because I didn't like it. Because I edit and I can do that.
There you go. When I listen to podcasts, I listen to them all the way through. I mean, unless it's really, really, like, just something's grating on my nerves. Like, there's some random sound in the background, or the audio quality is bad. I listen to the entire thing. Whatever they got to say, I want to hear it. That's just me.
After a half hour, Elena goes, what? We're still recording?
What? Yeah, exactly.
I completely forgot that we were still doing this. I thought we were done. Okay, then.
You know, if you want to give us feedback to shorten things up, we can do that.
Sure. We like feedback.
We do.
Tell Art to be nice to me. How about that? How about that for some feedback?
No one's going to do that.
Oh.
They've listened to you. Everything you get, you've got coming.
Sounds like someone's still not over the divorce.
Jeff, and you know the fun part is when he comes to Archon, I'm going to see him.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to make him pay.
I am like 90% sure me and Tony are going.
That would be cool.
I floated it to Tony, and Tony's like, what's the weekend? I'm like, that's the weekend. And he's like, yeah, that sounds doable. So if he's in, I'm definitely in because, you know, we'll carpool it out together, and it'll just work out easier that way. So
I hope so. I would like to meet you face-to-face in person and such.
For more than just the throttling.
Exactly. And then we could talk about Jeff because he won't be there.
There you go.
Just remember to pack his training order.
Okay. Now we're
I said those are for after the fact.
There you go.
Something has to be done before you can get one.
Okay.
And if no one catches me, just saying.
You know, my dad was very fond of saying that was one of the things he said very often. It's only illegal if you get caught. I know that's not true, but that's the way he did it.
I like him.
Yeah, he was a troublemaker.
I like him even more now. Okay. It's after 1 o'clock. I know, I'm sleepies. Okay, thanks everybody for, good God, putting up with us for ever so long tonight. Hope you enjoyed the show. I hope everyone has a great weekend and enjoys whatever movies you're going to go see. Elysium. Jeff, have fun in Las Vegas.
I will.
Art, have a great weekend, whatever it is that y'all be up to doing.
Low-key, nothing special.
Low-key is good.
Yep.
Not just in the Thor reference. Ha ha. Okay, good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.